In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. In the Gospel of today, it comes from us from the Gospel of St. Mark. We read something very, very strong in there, and it kind of caught my eye as I was reading it. It said, "If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand." This house that God is referring to, can be on many different levels. It can be on the church level, a church that is divided itself can't stand. It can be on a national level, a nation divided against itself cannot stand, as we see what's going on in the Middle East. And even it can be in our own houses. A house divided against itself cannot stand, where husband and wife are divided against themselves, or the children are also divided against themselves, the house cannot stand. So today I'd like to speak about a divided house, and I'd like to focus a little bit on a family in the Old Testament that had this problem of a divided family, and that's the family of Jacob. And I'd like to discuss two points primarily. The first is, what behaviors or characteristics cause division in a family, and also how to promote unity within our families. So first, what behaviors or characteristics can cause division in our families? The first thing that I thought of is favoritism. And if you look back at the story of Jacob and Joseph and his brothers, it says in Genesis 37, it says, "Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a tunic of many colors." So it was very clear that Jacob loved his son Joseph more than the other brothers. Because one, it was the son of his old age. It was like the youngest. For we all know the youngest kid, بياخد كده دلع شوية, because he's the youngest. And his other brothers saw that. And also it was the son of his beloved Rachel. It was, yani, this was the wife that he worked so long for. And, you know, he was tricked about Leah in the beginning, but he finally got Rachel. So this was the one that he truly loved, yani, with all of his heart. So because it was her son, that's why he loved him maybe more than the other his other sons. And also maybe because, as we know, Jacob was the kind that kind of was a home dweller. His brother Esau was more of the one who was, you know, the hunter. He went out in the field and things like that. So he was kind of like a homebody. He liked his mom and his dad, and maybe he was very compliant. He listened, you know, to his parents, and he was very, you know, easy to deal with. He's an easy child. And, you know, when he asked, Jacob asked him to go to Shechem and to check on his brother, he said, okay, and he just listened and went. There's a saying that says, passive fathers tend to favor the children who are easiest to raise. And meaning that sometimes the men, we like to favor the children who are the easiest. Yani bismak kalam, he listens to us. Yani he helps around the house. Yani sometimes we tend to favor those children. And this favoritism that we might show to one child versus the other can cause division in the family, especially between the two younger. And as we know also with Jacob's parents, Isaac and Rebekah, they too, yani she favored Jacob more than Esau, and it caused a division within the family. So we see how this favoritism can cause division among the family members. But not just favoritism in our relations with one another, from as children and parents and brothers and sisters among each other, but also favoritism in other things, other relationships. It could be maybe some friends. I favor to be with some outside friends rather than to be with my wife or be with my husband or even my children, unfortunately. Even I sometimes prefer to have a relationship with the TV rather than having one with my children. And we have to keep in mind, yes, all of us work hard. You know, the men, we go to work, 8 to 10 hours a day, and we come back and we're tired. We want to relax and turn on the TV. But our work actually doesn't begin until we get home. All we do, you know, before we get home is just, you know, we make money. But our work before God is when we get home. So when we turn on that TV, instead of sit with our children, yani, we have to keep in mind that our work is not done. It's just beginning when we get home. And sometimes we might favor, you know, other friends, as I said, and even sometimes service in the church. I'm not saying that, you know, we shouldn't serve and always stay with our family, but it should be a balance. As Christ said, you should do these and leave the others, and don't leave the others undone. So it should be a balance. We certainly serve so much and neglect our family. For what profit is there if we lose, you know, our family and, you know, we gain the, you know, the service? What's the point of it if we can't even save our own families and we're out to go, you know, try to save others as well? So we have to do one without leaving the undone. But sometimes, you know, some of us might get carried away and neglect our families for the sake of service. Also, jealousy is another big one that divides families, that can cause division within the family. And we see this also in the story of Jacob when he says, in Genesis 37 as well. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his other brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. So they hated Joseph because of his father's love for him. So this jealousy that they had, they saw him wearing this, you know, this nice coat, and his father's always giving him, you know, the better things, and they hated their brother Joseph for it. And they probably weren't too fond of Jacob as well because of it. So we see here that, just the spoiling of the children, unequal, you know, indulgence of children. And if you look at it, the coat that Jacob had for himself, this was a colored robe. It wasn't the normal attire for a shepherd. You know, he was a shepherd. He was going out, you know, to feed the sheep. It wasn't the normal attire for a shepherd, but it was more of something for a king. And so they saw that. I don't think his brothers would have had a problem if they all had the same color or the same colored robe. It wouldn't be a big deal. But because he would had it and they didn't have it, then they became jealous. And from this jealousy begins to, you know, form other things that go along with it, or other sins that go along with it, or other problems. When we show favoritism, or we show when our children, show favoritism, they become jealous. This jealousy starts to turn into other things like envy and malice. And envy, you know, a person who's envious, you know, it causes them inward pain when they see other people succeed, when they see their brothers or sisters succeed. And malice is they have this inward satisfaction when they see others fail or doing bad. So, and this is, you know, this is true. Sometimes you might see this even with our children. When one child succeeds, the other child is jealous and, you know, wants to bring them down. They start making fun of them and things like that just to bring them down. So us parents, we have to be kind of awake and realize what's going on and provide each, you know, member in the family with the appropriate remedy. And also unhealthy competition between family members is also kind of under jealousy. Maybe, you know, I might be jealous of, you know, my in-laws, or I might be jealous of my cousins who might have more than I do. So you have this jealousy that occurs between family members, and it causes division, yani, within our family. I might say to my husband or to my wife, yani, you see your sister or your brother has such and such, why can't we do it? We need to work more. We need to work more so we can be like them. So this, because of this jealousy, there starts to become a division in the family. And as Christ said, a house divided in itself cannot stand. Also, another cause of division is the lack of vigilance, the lack of parental vigilance. If you think about it, in the story of Jacob, his sons went to go feed the flock. Does anybody remember where? In Shechem. They went to go Shechem. And if we recall, Shechem was in a place where, you know, Jacob was well-liked and his family was well-liked. This was the place where Dinah, his daughter, was taken and basically raped, and their brothers got up and they fought the people of Shechem, and a big deal happened in that city. So maybe Jacob, if he was vigilant, he'd say, why are you going all the way to Shechem, which is like 50 miles away from home, to feed the flock? And imagine taking, yani, all the sheep and walking 50 miles with them to go feed them. And he might see something else was going on there. They might have either been conspiring to, you know, maybe hurt Joseph because they know he would send him. because it might have been, you know, happened before, or they might have just been doing some, you know, foul things out there all by themselves. So because Jacob wasn't vigilant and wasn't aware of what his sons were doing, this caused a division in the family. So we have to be aware also of our family dynamic. We have to be aware, you know, our family dynamic is kind of like a balance. And anything that disrupts this balance, we should be aware of, or we should take notice of it. If we notice that the presence of the television in our children's bedrooms causes an imbalance of the family, in which they don't want to come down and have dinner together, we need to address that issue. If the cell phones, having the cell phone at such a young age, causes an imbalance in the family and the communication in the family, we need to address that issue. So we need to, you know, vigilantly look at our families and see, you know, is my family balanced? And sometimes we have to take a step back and take a look at it. So if the video games, if they cause, you know, any imbalance, we have to just be vigilant of the dynamic within our family. And in order for us to do that, to assess whether our family is balanced, it requires us listening to our children, listening to them. And I don't mean listening verbally, because children sometimes can communicate things verbally, but that's not what really they intend. They might start yelling at their brother and sister and saying bad words to them, but what they're really crying out for is attention from their parents. They says, okay, if I yell at my brother and sister, mama and baba, they come running to me. So maybe what they're crying for is more of attention and you, rather than yelling at their brother and sister. So we need to understand the intent of what our children are communicating to be able to assess this balance. Not just kid, don't yell at him, you know, you're wrong, go to your room. Let's listen, not with our ears, but with our heart. So we should use our ears, but use them to connect to their heart. Also, a lack of fear also caused division among the family of Jacob. We see that Joseph's brothers, they had no fear. You know, they took their father's son, their own brother, and they threw him in a pit. And actually it says, they took him and cast him into the pit, and the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. And the next sentence says, and they sat down and ate a meal, to eat a meal. So they put him in a pit, and they themselves sat next to each other and had a nice little meal, talking among each other as if he wasn't there. And I'm sure he was crying and screaming for dear life. But yet, they had no feeling. They had no fear, whether of God or their father, of anybody. And this caused division, in their family. And not only that, they even sold him to make money off of him. So they did nothing within them, you know, struck this fear of God for them to say, hey, maybe we shouldn't be doing this. So they didn't fear anything. So fear itself can also be a cause of division among our families. And if we look at it, God has, as we said before, has placed in us this fear. And we should, when we look at our sins, there was a proverb that Solomon says. He says, he who covers his sins will not prosper. He who covers his sins will not prosper. And surely, his Joseph's brothers didn't even have this proverb in their mind, maybe because Solomon didn't write it yet, but I'm sure it's an unknown thing that, you know, Cain didn't get away with murder. Adam and Eve, they didn't, you know, get away with eating the fruit. So he knew that sin, doing the unlawless deeds, won't prosper. But yet they did it anyways because they didn't have the fear of God nor reverence for their parents and honor for their parents. So how do we promote unity within our families? How do we promote unity within our families? First is to set a good example, to be a good example. And I'll tell you, children will do as we do, not as we say. And if we look at it, you know, Jacob's children, they're just following his example. If we recall what happened in Genesis chapter 27, when Jacob went to steal the birthright from his father Isaac. It says, Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done just as you told me. Please arise, sit and eat my game, that your soul may be blessed. And you know, this same thing happened to him When his brothers came back with the garment seared with blood, they said, "Oh, your son was eaten by wild beasts." So they did the same thing that he did. Where did they learn that from? You know, as they say, the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. They learned it from their father. So our children are going to learn our, you know, behaviors. If I'm the one that, you know, the way I express or I get order in the house is by yelling, screaming, and spanking, then they're going to be the same thing. We shouldn't come and say, "Abuna, why is my kid very aggressive? Why is he bullying other kids?" Because he sees it at home. That's why he does that. So we have to be aware that whatever we do, our children are going to do. And they always say that the children are like the mirror of their parents. You meet any child and you find them kind and nice and gentle, most likely the parents will be the same. You find an aggressive kid, maybe you'll be inclined to think that this might be a neglected or abused child. So the children, they mimic us, whether we like it or not, whether, you know, we try to teach them and say things, you know, on the contrary, but they're going to imitate us whether we like it or not. So we have to look at ourselves and set good examples. The second way we can have unity in the family is to communicate often and openly. To communicate often and openly. Like I said, the family is like a balanced system. It's like a balanced ecosystem. And if something in the system goes wrong, then the whole system can suffer. It's just like our body. If that had communication, you know, if I put my hand in the fire, my sensors, my nerves in my hand send a message up to my brain and say, "Move your hand and move it now." If there was something wrong with this communication path and my nerves were damaged, what would happen? I would burn my hand and it would get, you know, severe burn and I wouldn't feel the pain. So the same thing, if we're not communicating with our family members, no matter how old they are, you know, until they're, you know, go off to college and leave your house, you need to sit and have dinner together and speak with one another. Have that open line of communication. So when there's pain in the family, that pain can be distributed along the whole family and among the whole body, not just, you know, leave one person to suffer by themselves. I'm just going to read a couple of proverbs that Solomon is teaching us as parents and also as children how to live in this ecosystem of a family. It says, "Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding." So children are called to look for their parents for knowledge and understanding, you know, access and take advantage of the experience that our parents have. And I know many of you might think to yourself, "Oh, my parents are old-fashioned. Oh, my parents are this, my parents are that." But believe me, there'll come a day when you'll look back and say, I think my parents understood something when I was younger. So you may not appreciate it now, but one day you guys will appreciate it when you grow up. Also, it says in Proverbs 8, receive my instruction. He's speaking here of wisdom. So receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. So wisdom is something that's more valuable than rubies or any precious gold. So in speaking with our children, we impart to them wisdom. You know, don't be shy to actually sit and explain to your children. And if some of us have the tendency of saying, you know, you might say, "Don't do this." And our parents say, and our children say, "Why?" And you say, "Because I said so." "Because I said so" is not very convincing to anybody. And although they might listen to you now because you're their parent and you're their elder, but there'll come a time where they're going to challenge, you know, this "just because I said so." And when they do, they're going to challenge your authority. So it's our advantage to explain to our children why we say the things we say. Why do we say, "No, don't go to this place"? Why do I say, you know, "I don't want you to have a cell phone at this age"? Explain to them why. And they don't have to agree, but they just have to know our thought process. And we pray that in the future, you know, they will all be enlightened. As far as the youth and the young adults, the wisdom of Sirach, it says, "To a foolish man, instruction is like chains on the feet and like handcuffs on the right hand." So to a foolish man, when I hear the instruction on my parents, I consider it as chains on my hands and very burdensome. So those are to the foolish man. What about the wise? It says, to a wise man, instruction is like a golden ornament and like a bracelet on the right arm. So to the wise, this instruction that I received from my parents, I put it on as a gold ornament. And this is something that we shouldn't be ashamed of. And many times you say, oh, mom and baba said I can't go to prom, so I'm going to be kiddah. I'm going to be shy about it and avoid the subject among my friends. But the wise man puts it on an ornament, or like an ornament on his hand, not being ashamed of it. And because this is wisdom that he's gaining from his parents, whether he realizes it or not. So we shouldn't be ashamed in obeying our parents. The fourth thing we can do to have unity in our families is to remain steadfast. Joseph learned that the fear of the Lord, he learned the fear of the Lord while he was at home. Because he was at home and he saw his father and his mother and how they used to pray and everything, he learned to fear God and to feel his presence. And it says in Genesis chapter 50, it says, but as for you, and this is Joseph, after he went through all of his trials and he finally made it to be the second in command in Egypt, and then he finally, his brothers came and his father came and he revealed himself to him. There, of course, they were so ashamed and they were so scared. But what did he do? He's going to tell them the lesson that he learned, the life lesson that he learned. He says, but as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many alive. So Joseph's, the lesson that he learned throughout his life was to remain steadfast in God's promises. And this steadfastness was evident at the end of his life. And he told his brothers and sisters, although you meant it evil for me, but God meant it for good and for the salvation of many people. So even though we don't understand maybe some of the things that go on in our home and some of the rules that our parents have, trust that in the end, you'll look back and say that this was for my life and not for my death that my parents did this. The next thing we can learn is forgiveness. Yes, all of us, without say, are human, and we're going to offend people. We'll offend each other, our brothers, our parents, our sisters. We'll offend them. We'll sometimes misinterpret what they say. We'll misunderstand what they say. But we do this because of our own weakness. Because we are human. But also, our teacher Solomon says, it is a man's glory to overlook a transgression. So let's not pick at the small things within a family. Instead of, why do we need to argue about, whose turn it is to play the Wii or whose turn it is to play the PlayStation? Or, he got to go first in getting his dinner or supper, whatever it might be. We pick at some of the small things and we make them an issue. Learn to, forgive. And try to take into practice what Solomon told us, that it is a man's glory to overlook a transgression. And finally, the last thing we can learn is a way to have unity in the family is to pray together. And, we had in the summer festival the altar that was in all of our homes, or at least all of the children's homes. How many of us have that altar still there? And are using it not only for our children to pray, but to pray together as a family. There is a famous saying that says, a family that prays together stays together. And that's so true. When we sit and stand up and pray to God, our Father, and say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, it's going to be much harder for us to say these words knowing that I have something against my brother and my sister and my mother or my father. But if we don't pray together, khalas, their conscience doesn't rebuke them, and the Holy Spirit's not have to find another way to rebuke them than this. So if you want our families to get closer and tighter and remain that way, we have to pray together. And this will begin a cycle from generation to generation. You might say, oh, mom and dad never prayed with me. That's okay. Start it now. And believe me, you'll see the fruits of it. And then, I can imagine the joy that you will have in your heart when you see your children get married and pray with your grandchildren all together as a family. And then you'll look back and say, yes, what I did, can fi fayda. There was a benefit for it. Just to review real quickly, What behaviors and characteristics can cause division in the family? We said favoritism. We said jealousy. The lack of parental vigilance, you know, being aware of what's going on in the dynamic in our families. The fourth is a lack of fear. And how can we promote unity within our family? We said set good examples, because our children are going to imitate us, whether we like it or not. Two is communicate often and openly with one another. Let that, you know, the channels of communication be open, regardless of whether it's bad news, horrible news, terrible news, or good news. Just let the channel be open and deal with the circumstances as they come. The third is to remain steadfast and hopeful in God's promises, forgive one another, and finally, pray with one another. May God grant us all united families and not divided families, for the glory of His name. Amen.